Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 11 of season 3. This week we are studying 2 Nephi chapters 26 through 30. The majority of this week's reading is Nephi's own prophecy about the latter days. He does sneak one more Isaiah chapter in there for good measure. And we'll talk about this idea again in the coming weeks, but if I had to use only one word to describe Nephi, it would be accountable. His life was about taking responsibility for his own decisions, not worrying too much about his mistakes, and striving to move forward every day. In his vision that led to his prophecy, he saw the future of his people and their complete destruction. He saw how their wicked choices led to this, and this was very troubling to him. This is understandable. We all want the best for our posterity, and if you knew that your posterity was going to be utterly destroyed someday, I think that could be overwhelming. In 2 Nephi chapter 26, starting in verse 7, we read about Nephi's feelings concerning this issue. Quote, "Oh, the pain and the anguish of my soul for the loss of the slain of my people, for I, Nephi, have seen it, and it well nigh consumeth me before the presence of the Lord, but I must cry unto my God, thy ways are just. But behold, the righteous that hearken unto the words of the prophets and destroy them not, but look forward unto Christ with steadfastness for the signs which are given, notwithstanding all persecution, behold, they are they which shall not perish. But the Son of Righteousness shall appear unto them, and he shall heal them, and they shall have peace with him until three generations shall have passed away, and many of the fourth generation shall have passed away in righteousness. And when these things have passed away, a speedy destruction cometh unto my people. For notwithstanding the pains of my soul, I have seen it. Wherefore I know that it shall come to pass, and they sell themselves for naught. For the reward of their pride and their foolishness they shall reap destruction. For because they yield unto the devil and choose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell. For the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceases to strive with man, then cometh speedy destruction, and this grieveth my soul." That's the end of the quote. If you focus on verse 7, Nephi says how it is almost unbearable to have the thought that his people will be destroyed. Yet he does not blame God. In fact, he acknowledges that the Lord's ways are just. And I imagine that in such moments, it can be very easy to want to blame someone else or blame a circumstance, but Nephi puts the blame right where it belongs. Even though it is hard for him to accept, he knows it is right and he doesn't fight against it. This is such an important concept for our mental health. Being accountable and responsible for our own decisions has two effects as we strive to improve emotionally. First, when we're accountable, we don't waste time trying to change others or to change a circumstance that's out of our control. We recognize that our actions are our responsibility, and then we acknowledge that change begins with us. And second, this attitude provides a sense of power. It puts us in the driver's seat. Instead of throwing up our hands in futility, we realize that we have the power to do something about our situation. Satan is always trying to get us to blame others, blame the circumstance, blame our genetics, or blame any other thing, as long as it's outside of our control. That's all he really wants, is for us to blame something that is not within our control. And he does this because he knows the power of agency. He knows the positive changes that we can make when we take responsibility and start moving forward. Taking accountability for your mental health is probably the single best thing you can do to start the process of positive change. In Nephi's prophecy, he goes on to talk about how Satan will influence people in the latter days. And these are our times that he's talking about. He's talking about us. We read in 2 Nephi chapter 28, starting in verse 19, quote, "For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. That's the end of the quote. In verse 20, Nephi talks about Satan using anger as a tactic. Now, anger is a very powerful emotion, and it's what I like to call a distracting emotion. Let me explain what I mean by that. In my professional work with people who have serious anger management issues, anger is rarely the primary emotion. The anger is almost always covering a deeper emotion, such as sadness or fear. It's usually a weak emotion or an emotion that makes us feel vulnerable. And in those cases, the anger becomes a distraction, so the person does not realize the deeper emotion, and without recognizing the deeper emotion, they are unable to effectively address it. In verses 21 and 22, Nephi talks about how Satan will pacify and placate others, telling them that there really is nothing wrong, so there's no need to do anything about it, and this leads to them being grasped by his chains and being in spiritual bondage. And as I see this related to mental health issues, one of the things I've noticed throughout my career is a growing acceptance of mental health in general. And in many ways, I think this is wonderful that we are talking about and addressing these issues that have long either been ignored or discounted. But as the pendulum swings to the other extreme, sometimes it goes too far, with people saying that mental health issues cannot be changed. In essence, they say, I have anxiety, or I have depression, or I have some other mental health issue. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And here's where they go too far. And there's nothing I can do about it. And I don't want anyone to suggest that I change. I see this as a form of carnal security that Nephi referred to. It lulls us into complacency, which discourages change and forward movement. While I think it is very important to be compassionate towards those who struggle with mental health issues, we need to always help each other be accountable and take responsibility for our own change. We are here in this life to change and become better, to become more like our Savior Jesus Christ. And this involves a small, steady changes to our personalities, our attitudes, our emotional capacities, and anything else that makes us different from God. Nephi discusses how these changes happen in 2 Nephi 28, verse 30, which reads, quote, For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts, and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth will I give more, and from them that say, We have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. We get assistance from God little by little. We become better little by little. Don't worry if your personal change or your mental health change seems to be taking a long time. That's exactly the way it's supposed to work. Strive to be consistent and make small changes each day. The cumulative effect of these changes will help you eventually reach your goals. I always end these podcast episodes with an invitation to act and just invite you to give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations might be good for you to do. Here's this week's invitation. Think of one aspect of your life where you'd like to make a significant change. And then think, what is one small thing that you can do on a daily basis that will help you achieve that change? And then write down, what is your plan to make that happen? I have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement the weekly invitations. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter. You can find that link in the show notes. Also, please subscribe to the podcast so you can access new episodes each week, and please share this podcast with your friends. There's written transcripts of the podcast as well, and you can find a link for those in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.